to their wives. The fact that this was a prevalent account, one has the as evidence the fact that in various form books, in other words, people, there would be books written which would have the standardized forms for any kind of a document you needed. And amongst the standardized forms for documents that would be necessary was the form whereby someone would leave as a pre-death gift all of his property to his wife. Mofiim shtarota mubishimet ha-rochush le-isha. Ha-ba'alim va-anashim chashushu mi-irur shal yorshim acherim. The husband and wife were worried about the fact that the children might try to protest this. Al tkupatan shal tzaba'od me'en eile, on the actual viability of this kind of a document, whether it was indeed a sufficiently legal document to override the laws of inheritance. Kafisha olem mishtarot shemishtamu otei, uvehem hachaksim haba'alim kol derech mishpatit efsharit lahashir haruchush kulo biyad anashim. And therefore the husbands would try to seek whatever possible means there could be to leave the estate to their wives. Kach l'mashal, v'shtar ha-mubah v'sefer ha-asufot, chozer ha-baal l'madgish et v'tzono, she-ishto tiyeh ha-yoreshet ha-yechidah shelo. The husband repeatedly makes the assertion that his wife should be his sole heir. Tok shu dochet zchut tokeh shel ha-me'orer shu. And this is a text of one of those documents. It's something... It's not a prohibition. According to the Jewish law of inheritance, as stated in the Torah, is that the sons inherit. If there are no sons, the daughter inherits.
The law gets changed when it's economic, and not when it's something else. We're discussing the issue of women, I think that you are missing the point here, and that all of these laws are made by men, and it is a reflection of their attitude toward the women. And when the women react, they're ignored or suppressed.
Well, here's the opposite. The women are, here the husband, in fact, is trying to leave his money to the wife.
Because
she will make it grow. She's a successful experience. What is the problem then? The question is, he's trying to leave it as a gift. He has to give it 1 second before he dies, and it's complicated to write a document like that. Here's a typical document. Natati la v'shlatati, I gave to her, v'shlatati u'minitu ota apotropa al kol ma sheyesh li ba'olam. I have appointed my wife to be the sole executrix of all property that I have in the world, mikalka'im u'mitalkuli, whether real property or portable property. V'lo yehei reshut l'shum adam ba'olam l'tza'ara b'davar zeh, and no man... No person in the world can question her, to trouble her on this matter. She will live in my house and eat and do whatever she wants, and she can do whatever she wants. She should not be required to take any oath on anything. So this is a typical document that was a standard form that a husband would use in order to be sure that his wife would inherit the estate and not be troubled by Jewish, legal Jewish heirs.
What is the practice when there are no children?
It's complicated. If there are no children, then it reverts to the father, and then the father's... The husband. The wife has, according to the law of the Torah, the wife has no inheritance properties whatsoever. And this has been, in modern times, of course, a very difficult problem. Rabbi Herzog tried to institute some changes in the Jewish inheritance law by enacting a similar type of clause in in Eretz Israel to protect, to arrange for daughters to inherit or for the wife to inherit, and he got smashed over the head by the other Rabbanim, so he didn't succeed in that. Reb Moshe Feinstein tried to deal with this problem in a very simple way in the United States, namely this principle of Dina de Malkuta Dina, and if therefore there is given, the state law can override the Jewish inheritance law by this. I'll just read you a bit of this, because it's a long tshuva, and I hope that maybe we'll get at it.
And the civil war in the United States is by state?
Yes.
Each state differs?
I don't know.
They don't differ much anymore. Pretty much. The assumption is.
But the spouse in Europe?
The assumption
is
split. I think if it's split, half the estate is divided, first you'll get to share according to the kids and half the spouse.
Yes, at any event, I hope maybe at a later date that we'll go into this, and maybe not. But here's the problem. This is one of his shilas of Moshe on this question. And the question of a will of a woman, Shahayulav a bank, a woman had had some money in the bank, retained me him gamlet staka, to apportion her will, she wanted to leave some of the money for charity. Vabal omer shahayul shel haisha, the husband agrees that this money belonged to the woman. Ach, machmat shehi natana lo ta staka, shenada gam hu litain, since he had also promised to give money to the same charity. Rotsoi lachzor mima shenada, he wanted to let the amount of money that would come from her request count for his gift, and he would not therefore be obligated to do so. Gam huli otatz takav, and istapek yedidi ulai ledina ein tzavat aklum. Maybe her, according to Jewish law, her bequest and her will carries no validity. The yoresh ota ba'ala, because her husband is her sole heir, according to Jewish law. Mimela yachol hu lachshiv me Ma'otea, therefore the husband would have the right to conclude that the bequest that she made to charity in her will as the payment of his oath. So then Reb Moshe goes into the whole issue of whether a will of this type is or is not binding, and he has a rather inventive use of the laws of Dina de Malkuta Dina to certify any such will. So therefore, in the United States, Reb Moshe was able basically to arrange for the legitimacy of a will on the basis of a combination of Dina de Malkuta Dina and other things, things that Rabbi Herzog was unable to accomplish in Eretz Yisrael. Well, it's not that simple. There's a book called The Jewish Laws of Inheritance by Diane Grunfeld, written in 1975 in England. He was on the in the Beit Din of your Rebbe, in the London Beit Din, but he consulted a lot with Rabbi Weiss on this issue, and he sort of attacks Reb Moshe for his being so left-wing on this matter. No, it's complicated. I will try to go into that if we have time in the second semester. I don't know if that's the topic. I'm simply saying that here is another situation in which Reb Moshe took a quite a radically lenient position, and he was not spared by some of the Rabbanim to his right, namely the Dayanim and the Lodin Beis Din, in particular Dayan Gwin. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And he transfers all of
that money to his wife.
Mm-hmm.
And then he dies.
Mm-hmm. That's a gift.
That's
yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
They have a joint account.
More complicated. Okay. Now I want to go into something which is maybe, I hope nobody here will be offended, but a little more tricky. subject, and that is the role of the woman in her wifely duties. And I will quote from three sources. Let's read what the Rambam has to say. So this is from Hilchot Yishut, Tractat Bava Lachachaf. V'lo timnami ba'ala kedei letza'aro ad sheyosif bi'ahavata. A woman should not refrain from having sex with her husband in order that he have stronger desires for her. Ela nishmat lo b'chol eit sheyotze. But should agree to have relations whenever he wants. V'chein tzivu ala isha shetehe mechabedet et ba'ala b'yoter midai, that she should honor her husband more than is necessary. V'yiyelo aleha mora, and that he should inspire her with fear. V'ta'aseh kol ma'aseh ha'alpiv, she should do whatever he commands. V'yiyeh be'ineha kmo sar o melech, and he should appear to her like a prince or a king. Yeah. Ma'alechet b'ta'avat libo, she does what his heart desires. U'ma'archeket kol she'yisneh, and she should reject anything that he does not like, he hates. V'zehu derech b'not Yisrael u'bnei Yisrael ha'kdoshim v'hatahorim v'zivugam. This is the way in which holy Jewish people do in their conjugal relations. U'b'dorchim elu yiyeh yushavam na'eh u'mushubah. In this way, they will be happy households. Remember, all this is written by men, so... okay. Here is a quote from the Otzar HaGaonim, supposedly attributed to Rabbi Yehudai Gaon. Grossman doesn't believe that it's correct because he has a whole chapter on one of the related subjects here, on wife beating and general abuse of women, and he refuses to allow that Rabbi Yehudai Gaon could write this, but I'll read the quote that he has anyway. Hanashim chayavot l'chabed et ba'aleihem. A wife is supposed to honor her husband, umenikit b'nehem, that she nurses her children, umachilot ba'alehem, they feed their husbands, afilu miyadehem lefihem, even giving hand to mouth, umachabsot, and she does the wash, umavashlot, kmo sha'amu chachamim, isha tochenet ba'ufa, a woman grinds and bakes, ukenishnach, ukeshinichnas ba'ala minachutz, when the husband comes in from the outside, Chayevet ha'isha la'amod al ragleha, woman should stand up when the husband comes into the house. Ve'ein la roshut le'shev ad she'yeshev ba'ala. She doesn't have the right to sit down until her husband sits down. Ve'ein la roshut la'harim kol la'alav. She should not yell at him. Ein la roshut la'harim kol la'alav. Va'afilu makeh uta, even if he hits her, Tishtok kederach shahanashim tznuot osot, like all modest women do. V'chayavot liyafod atzman mepnei ba'alehem kol shana, and they should make themselves, she make herself attractive, pretty for her husband all the year. V'kochelet et eina, put on eye shadow. U'mevasmot pihen b'chol minei psanim, and use all kinds of perfume. Kedei shiyeh libo gaspa, v'tiyeh chaviva alav, kiyom knisato l'chupa. Mishum lo tohu bra'a, that he should be attracted to her as on the day of the chuppah, because a family was not made for celibacy.
What about him?
That she shouldn't yell even if he hits her.
Is it possible that these were so strenuous when you stressed?
Reality was different. Of course, reality was very different. Now, with Apollo, Grossman quotes a few pages from Tishbi's discussion in the Mishnah Zohar. I'm going to read a whole long selection. So I hope you will not be offended. This is not my... This is not... Well, it's Tishbi's opinion of the Zohar.
Why did they issue a ksuba when they married? Seems to be against all that we just said then.
What was that?
An ksuba, she has all kinds of rights.
Yes.
She walks out of, he divorces her. She has to get the It seems like it favors the woman.
There is protection for the woman, but I'm simply saying here that what the appropriate behavior of a woman towards her husband should be. There's no sanction attached to any of this.
It doesn't say that, so much that she has to...
No, it says that she has to respect and honor and so on. Okay, now I'm going to read... I'm reading from page 1357 in Tishbe's The Wisdom of the Zohar. So this is a secondary source. I'm not reading directly from the Zohar like we did last time.
We have some of that meditation. We have some
Yes, we've read from him in the past. And
listed handouts, I mean.
Yes, we did have some handouts, and it listed some protests, so that's why I'm... Yeah. Yeah, okay. So the concept of the human male-female relationship as a mirror of the system of divine forces gives a definite sacral character to married life, and particularly to the sexual act itself, which reflects and embodies in this world divine intercourse in the world above. Indeed, it helps to bring it about, and attracts a flow of blessing from it down to the physical world. During intercourse, a man should try to combine the attribute of day, Tiferet, with night, Malchut, and the attribute of night with day. Even the involvement of the evil inclination in sexual desire is modeled on the upper world. Rabbi Eliezer said, "How can we support the view that there is an evil inclination in the world above that takes hold of the female?" He said to him, "We have already discussed the fact that both the good inclination and the evil inclination exist in the upper and the lower worlds. The good inclination on the right and the evil inclination on the left. On the left, in the world above, i.e. Gvurah takes hold of the female so that it might be connected with her bodily. One should therefore try to coordinate one's intercourse with the precise time of intercourse in the upper world. The right time for people in general is at midnight throughout the week, because it is at that time that the Holy One, blessed be He, takes His delight with the Shekhinah in the Garden of Eden. But for scholars who know the paths of the Torah, midnight is the time for them to rise and study Torah, to unite with the assembly of Israel, to praise the holy name of the Holy King. And their intercourse takes place at the time of another more exalted intercourse in the world above, and this is on Sabbath night, so that they may direct their minds to communion with the Holy One, blessed be He, and with the assembly of Israel. By virtue of having intercourse with his wife, a man is able to cleave to the Shekhinah. When a man marries, he cleaves to the Shekhinah because he then dwells in the shelter of the consort and perfects himself on the pattern of the upper world. Because with regard to the Shekhinah, all the females in the world exist by virtue of her mystery. If a man has a wife, the Shekhinah dwells with him. But if he has no wife, she does not dwell with him. When a man is at home with his wife, the Shekhinah dwells with him in the form of the Divine Mother who bestows a beneficent influence on them both. The lower mother, i.e. the Shekhinah, remains with the male only when the home is in order and the male comes to the female and they're united together. Then the lower mother showers blessings upon him. Consequently, the man in his home is adorned with two females on the pattern of the world above, the upper to shower blessings upon him, the lower to receive sustenance from him and to unite with him. However, when the husband is parted from his wife and goes on a journey, he is able to experience union with the Shekhinah who accompanies him and is united with him in the place of his wife. Once he has said his prayer and his words of praise and the Shekhinah has come down to him, he should leave, for then the Shekhinah will be united with him so that the male and female may exist together. The Shekhinah also protects him and saves him from sin. Similarly, when scholars abstain from intercourse on weekdays for the sake of studying Torah, or during their wives' menstrual periods, the Shekhinah is there to be united with them so that the male and female may exist together. When normal physical intercourse is resumed, the husband must treat his wife kindly and give her pleasure, because it was his wife who enabled him to have celestial union, and he must adorn himself with both females. These passages assign a very important role to the woman in marriage. She's depicted as occupying an exalted position, since she is a reflection of the Shekhinah and also enjoys her protection. But the Shekhinah has a dual experience, existence, portrayed both as a loving, compassionate, beautiful mother, and also as a dark force of anger and destruction, liable to become an accomplice of the adversary. Similarly, terrestrial woman is a complex of contrary elements, mercy and judgment, good and evil, light and darkness. The first woman, Eve, who sinned and caused Adam to sin, was seduced by the serpent and had intercourse with him because of her connection with the Shekhinah and the latter's role of the tree of knowledge, and the revolving sword, which revolves from one side to the other, from good to evil, from mercy to judgment, from peace to war. And it is Eve who is the original type and ancient origin of all evil women, of whom it is said, I find woman more bitter than death, because woman ascends to this place and no further, and woman brings death to all. The leaning of women towards sorcery and their ability in this field, especially when they are unclean during the menstrual period, is a clear indication of the strong links they have with the powers of judgment and Sitra Achra. Sorcery originated with the pollution injected into man by the serpent, and even though this pollution was removed from Israel at the revelation on Sinai, the Torah was given to men only, for the women are exempted from fulfilling the commandments of the Torah. Furthermore, they all return to their original pollution after they had sinned with the golden calf, and it is more difficult to remove pollution from a woman than from a man. That is why women are more likely to be involved with sorcery and with this pollution than men. For women come from the left side and are attached to strict judgment. Everything cleaves to and follows its kind. Another passage states quite clearly that women's sorcery springs from the demonic urge towards murder and destruction. From women come all kinds of divination and sorcery, and all evil machinations, and not for the fact that their hands are bound in that they are prevented by heaven, women would be continually murdering and killing the world's inhabitants. A good wife is designated for a particular man from the very beginning by the Holy One, blessed be He, while an evil wife is given to him as a punishment for his sins by the Sitra Achra. According to the Tikkuni HaZohar, the relationship of wife to husband is like that of body to soul, and the nature of them both, husband and wife, is bound up with the transmigration of the soul. For if a righteous man has an evil body and an evil wife, this is his punishment, of being dictated by transmigration. And if the evil wife cannot be reformed, he should divorce her with a get and be restored to health and then be transplanted to another place. The principal virtue of a good wife is modesty, which is the characteristic of Jewish women in particular, and is rewarded by the birth of worthy children. If the wife remains at home and does not venture outside, she is modest and fit to bear worthy children. Covering the hair in women is a part of family modesty, while uncovering the hair is impudence, which strengthens the power of the other side and brings a curse upon the whole household. Therefore, a woman should make sure that even the walls of her house do not see one hair of her head, let alone outside the home. Look at the amount of harm a woman's hair can do. It affects the world above and the world below. It brings curses upon the husband. It brings poverty and an alien element into the home, and it deprives the children of respect. A wife who does not properly observe the uncleanliness of a menstrual period or a dose of the ritual bath a day earlier than she should, likewise, a wife who postpones intercourse with a husband in order to annoy him, has her voice seized by the voice of a serpent, like a dog by a dog, defilement after defilement, kind after kind, and her children become subjected to the wicked rule of Lilith. A number of passages...
Wicked what is that? Wicked what?
Lilith.
That serpent.
Mm-hmm. A number of passages stress the fact that the husband occupies the dominant position in the family. His situation is that of a ruler, and neither the woman nor her agent has the right to do anything without her husband's permission. Just like the Shekhinah, there's no right to come and go without her husband's permission. Similarly with inviting guests, it is not good manners for a wife to receive a guest without her husband's permission. And a guest is not permitted to enter the house without the consent of the wife's husband, the master of the house. The blessings bestowed upon the wife are given to her through her husband, who receives on her account additional blessings. When a man marries, the Holy One, blessed be He, gives him two portions, one for him and one for his wife, and he takes them all, both his portion and his wife's portion. And even the beauty of the female is all part of the beauty of the male. The power of judgment in the wife gives way before the power of mercy in the husband. Every woman is characterized by judgment until she tastes the flavor of mercy, as it has been taught. White comes from the man's side and men for the woman's. If the woman tastes some of the white predominates. However, in conjugal life itself, especially as regards the relationship between husband and wife during intercourse, the Zohar assigns the dominant position to the wife and emphasizes her rights and her wishes. Once the bride's parents have left her in her husband's charge, her husband goes into her, for it is her home. The whole house is hers, and he must obtain permission from her. The man must come to the matrimonial bed that his wife has prepared even if his own bed is more comfortable and more beautiful, he must defer to her, for even if he has a golden bed with fine embroidered covers to sleep in, and she prepares a bed with stones on the ground with a straw mattress, she should leave his bed and lie on hers, in order to give her pleasure, so that their desire should be as one without any duress. Before intercourse, the husband should conciliate his wife with pleasant and cozy words, to arouse love in her, and to persuade her to share his desire, and then she will be aroused in desire to him and give him pleasure and love. But if he's not able to do this, he should not lie with her, so that he should not regard her as ownerless property, etc. So, Right. Well, at any event, according to the Zohar, the sexual act itself, as we said, is just a lower form of instituting the sexual act that takes place above, and the role of the husband and the wife, it just reflects the divine forces which are taking place above.
What is the sexual act above? I don't know. Spino and all that. I don't touch that at all. Maybe they have an idea there somewhere.
Sounds very policy.
Huh?
Sounds very policy.
Well, we've said that before. But this is the Zohar. I'm not. All right. So.
Benayla him and gracious.
I don't remember what the Zohar says on that, but remember, since the Zohar is now coming back into style,
we all should know what it says.
We should at least know what it says.
Yeah, I wonder if you can discuss a little about the hair cover. The hair cover.
Yeah, that will be a separate topic.
Can we do this?
I hope Lina will deal with this next semester. Okay, so we'll stop here. We're going to have a long break, but I thought you would enjoy the passage.